FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is January 25th, 2016. We're almost done with the first month of the year. Amazing. It's time for another Triple Lutz report. This is episode 397, and this one you probably read a little bit of it. The war on cash has been won. Now, for months, actually, for almost a year, you've been hearing about a war on cash. And what is the war on cash? Well, governments have decided that they don't want you to have currency, paper money. Now, paper money might be worth less, but it's not worth as less as the digital dollars that banks deal with. So what's happened is that various schemes have been hatched by governments all over the world. And the idea is to get you to stop using cash. It's easier to collect taxes. It's discourages illegal behavior, supposedly. How are you going to deal drugs if there's no cash? I guess you'll have to use gold or silver, or you will have to use gift cards. Perhaps Starbucks gift cards will become the new currency for conducting illegal transactions. Now, almost 2 years ago, I wrote about this in March of 2014. I called it Operation Dirty Money. And if you'd signed up on the newsletter, I'm banging them out again promptly, did the first two. So in March, I said what happened is that the government was discouraging you from using currency, from using Federal Reserve notes by not keeping fresh ones in circulation. And I gave you an example of some friends of mine who are in the check cashing business, in the ATM business, rather, and they couldn't get good currency, and they were constantly having jam-ups in their ATM machines. And they were in hotels in the around West Palm Beach Airport. Finally, they just said, enough is enough. Can't go running over to the damn place every few minutes because the thing jams. We're just going to call it a day, and we're not going to do it anymore. And as a result, they basically sold off the business, and they're done with it. So this war on cash has been going on quite a while. The less, you know, when you get crispy $100 bills, they're very attractive. When you got these bills, these notes that are falling apart, they're filthy, they carry disease. You want no part of them. But look, it's been going on a while, and you, the public, have been cooperating with it. At the present time, 80% of the population carries less than $50 in their pocket. 40% carry $20 or less, or no money at all. And look, less than 7% of all transactions in the economy take place using the green stuff. Some of the reasons why governments want to eliminate the cash are quite obvious. Cash transactions are anonymous, harder to track, harder to tax, and allow the participants a greater degree of freedom over your own affairs. Others are much less well understood. When you go to the bank and you cash a check, say for $5,000, and you've got that cash in your hand, it's no longer in your account and it can no longer be subject to fractional reserve banking. So if you had $1,000 and you took it out, if it was in the bank could loan up to $9,000 through fractional reserve banking on your $1,000, and they would still show that they had all that money in the bank because they are effectively printing money. And so banks love it when you don't have cash. They want all of your money digital. Plus, once you put your money in the bank, your account, you become a creditor of the bank. It's not your money. The bank can pay out its creditors. First, the derivative traders get the money, and then you do. So, yeah, you're insured by the FDIC, which is dreadfully under-reserved, let's face it. But it's all good. What else? Remember, like when you use a credit card to pay instead of cash, well, your credit card is issued by a bank. And American Express is a commercial bank. They became one during the financial crisis. So what happens? They print up the money out of thin air. You do a purchase, $1,000, you buy a suit and you charge it for $1,000, close a business that day or opening a business the next day, the bank has transferred $1,000 into their account, less the merchant fees, which could be another 2 to 3%, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more. If you're using Bitcoin, they're less than 1%. But the point is that not only does the bank print the money up out of thin air, but the clearinghouse, Visa, MasterCard, or whomever it is, they get their cut, and the bank gets a cut. They get a merchant fee. And then they're charging you interest on the balance if you don't pay it right away. And heaven help you, if you don't pay the bill on time or you're late by a day, you'll get a late fee, and then you'll get interest at 20% or more per annum, penalties, everything else. I mean, this is just like a great business to be in. How do you get a license to print money? Well, you have to be a commercial bank, and they're not giving any of those licenses out right now. You know, they always said having a law license was a license to steal. I never quite understood that, but having a bank, boy, you know that old saying, give a man a gun and he can rob a bank. Give a man a bank and he can rob the world. And look, there's another benefit to the cashless society in dealing with financial panics and bank insolvency. As you've seen in the U.S. during the Great Depression, as well as Cyprus and Greece recently, when confidence is lost in a bank, people want their accounts cashed out right now. They want it now. However, as we all know, in the modern bank branches, they're no longer cash repositories. If you've ever tried to withdraw more than a few thousand dollars, you know this quite well. They give you a hard time. You have to make an appointment. We've only got $20,000 in the bank. I mean, it's great for reducing bank robberies. Probably also it's another benefit of this is that there's less street crime because the criminals know, well, we got to steal jewelry because nobody carries cash anymore, very few people. And so look, if and when there is a loss of faith in U.S. banks, what do you think is going to happen next? Well, since this country no longer relies upon cash for most of its transactions, many people who attempt to go to the bank and close out their accounts won't be able to get cash. But the bank will be more than, because the bank doesn't have any currency in inventory. And unless they change their ways right now, they're going to have minimal. I mean, the ATM has a bank ATM, an average quarter of a million to a half a million. That's more than the bank branch has. And in many too big to fail banks, the branch has no access to the ATM machines. So the bank won't have the currency in inventory, but you know what they'll do for you? They will issue you a bank check. Isn't that wonderful? And then what do? You're going to have to go to another insolvent bank to deposit the check. And the same with the big corporations. Oh yeah, we'll give you your money, but you know, will wire it to another too-big-to-fail bank. They're not going to let you wire it out of the country in all likelihood. It's going to be very difficult to do that. So you'll have to go to another insolvent bank to deposit the check that you got to close out your account, and mission accomplished. Your money is now safe, right? Hardly, because one too-big-to-fail bank is just as insolvent as the next. Well, you'll just go to the ATM and withdraw the maximum and keep doing it every day. Think again. Most banks reduced their maximum daily withdrawal limit to $1,000 or less during the last financial crisis in 2009. And in Cyprus and Greece, they were allowing you, and they still might be for what I know, $300, 300 euros a day to withdraw from the ATM. And people were lined up around the block. So this is the brave new world here. The war on cash, already been fought and won by the powers that be, and no one even told you about it. Your only defense is to plan ahead, keep some currency in reserve, how much is up to you, and unless you're in a cash business, you're going to have to accumulate it gradually over time. You'll have to put it aside. And like I say, you'll have to figure out how much you need, but having some is a very good idea. So, you know, Gerald Celente, he was on the show. I think he summed it up the best, that we're now living through the panic of 2016, while myself and many of my fellow members of the alternative financial press have been warning about this for years. We seem to be kind of part of the stop clock brigade. You know, like a stop clock is right twice a day. And yeah, if you say enough bad things and predictions, eventually you're going to be right at some point, right? But it looks like it's unrolling now, and nothing's changed since 08-09. Debt's been increasing geometrically. Banks can continue their reckless, predatory criminal behavior with derivatives, and worldwide wealth creation has been on a long downward spiral. We don't know where this is going to stop. Brian London, publisher of the August Gold newsletter, believes that the Fed and the world's central banks will begin to aggressively roll back rates and go even more negative than they are already. And how bad will it be, and what can you do about it? We don't know how low it'll go. Preparation is always the key. While bank disruptions seem unlikely in the U.S., especially because very few of you out there were alive during the Great Depression, and even less of you know the history of the Great Depression, it's always a possibility. Had the Treasury and the Fed not come to the rescue of the big banks, the two big defails in 08 and 09, what do you think would have happened to your bank? Because even if your bank isn't a too big to fail, most banks out there, the smaller banks, community banks, use a too big to fail bank as a correspondent to buy Treasury bonds, to borrow money from the Fed, to invest federal funds, etc. So what's going to happen to the solvent banks? They're going to get swallowed up by the insolvents. And will they be there? Will the Federal Reserve and the Treasury be there next time to try to keep control? And it's up to each and every one of us to make a plan for you to be ready for whatever is coming down the pike. Your plan might not survive after you've been punched in the head, as Mike Tyson would say, but it's certainly better than nothing. Okay? Every time I get on a plane, I look to figure out where the emergency exits are. Hopefully, if I'm not in the front of the plane, I'll be sitting next to one of them because there's more space there. But hey, I go to a crowded nightclub, crowded restaurant. First thing I do, where are the exits? Movie theaters, usually they're in the same place, up front in the corners and in the back, but sometimes they have them on the side. Always look for an exit plan. Can't emphasize that enough. If you don't, you will be sorry. So, you know, I'm starting the show on stem cell therapy shortly. It's going to have to be a little broader than that because I just found something out. The FDA has decided to rule that that your own cells, once they've been extracted from your body and, you know, not anything else, they just pull them out of your fat cells, your blood cells, your bone marrow, and then implant them back into you. Well, the FDA wants to declare that that's a drug. And as a result, it will have to go through all the drug testing out there. Now, there are some bad apples out there, some bad practitioners of stem cell therapy. No question about it. They are out there. However, most of the people, especially the ones that are associated with Dr. McQuillan, and you should go over to drsharonmcquillan.com, drsharonmcquillan.com. You can find out more about it there. But all the people that she works with have been trained in her method. There's no riskiness. There's very little chance for complications and rejection. So the FDA plans to have a hearing on April 13th to discuss their proposed rules. There are four main rules, and it basically will eliminate all stem cell treatment in the U.S. And part of the problem is FDA has never allowed a study to take place to actually figure out how good these things are. So all the evidence out there is, as they call it in medicine, anecdotal. But anecdotal or not, the fact is that I know people who've been helped by it, doctors who've been helped by it, lay people who've been helped by it. So these are all things to think about. I don't know what the response is going to be from this nascent stem cell industry. I hope that they take action because I believe that if it's done safely, at the very least, it's not going to hurt you. And at best, it might be damn near miraculous what can happen. Imagine you've torn a meniscus, your knee, you inject it, and boom, 30 days, it's better. 6 months, you can't even tell you tore your meniscus. You've got chronic back pain that nothing else has been able to help. COPD and so many others. Multiple sclerosis, MS. Big area where stem cells appear to be efficacious, as they say. Appear to actually help treat untreatable diseases. So it's your body. It's your body's products. They're not growing new cells. They're not culturing new cells. That is a very complex procedure that's beyond Dr. McQuillan's capabilities, by your own admission, and most other doctors. Probably not a good idea to be doing it. But even that, I think the science will evolve eventually to culturing and breeding additional stem cells. So this is the state of our government. They won't stop the wealthy from getting stem cell therapy. If the wealthy believes it works and their doctors do, they will simply go out of the country, and it will simply make the U.S. a less competitive place, less innovative, and that's the way it works. So urge you, go over to drsharonmcquillan.com, drsharonmcquillan.com. Check it out. There's a lot of different articles there, not just about stem cells, but you need to know about stem cells. For arthritis, it is the best thing out there from everything I've been able to tell. I'm not a doctor. I'm not recommending you try it. I'm recommending you get information on it and, if need be, act before April 13th, although probably take them a few months to get the rules. They'll have to rewrite them and make changes. And, you know, I think the end is near, though, for this. Anyway, that's it for today. This has been another Triple Lutz Report. Kerry Lutz, signing off.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.